Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're certainly a privileged people, Lord, to know that your presence is here. To believe, Father, that you, the great author and finisher of our faith, have come to finish our faith, to bring forth a change of the body by first bringing forth a change of the mind. And so, Lord, as we would approach thy word this morning, we just ask that you would help us, Father, to recognize, Lord, that you have come to bring forth reflectors of thy great light. And knowing, Father, that as your prophet so declared to us in this sermon, the masterpiece, that the original masterpiece was your son Jesus, but there's another masterpiece that you're building, and that's a bride to reflect you, Father. And so, Lord, we just commit ourselves to that great reflection and ask, Father, that you would be with us, Lord, as we would study this word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. From the masterpiece, paragraph 99, Brother Branham said, though he was the perfect word portrayed, it pleased God, the great sculptor, to smite him and to do it this way. We see him in Isaiah here as we read. We all did esteem him. We turned our faces from him. There's no beauty that we should desire him. Everybody's talking about him, making fun of him. I'm talking about him now, in this day, and everybody's making fun of him, see? We did esteem him. We saw him. Esteem means to look at. We did esteem him smitten and transgressed. He was bruised for our iniquity. Now, we could go on and on with that, but I believe that you have the picture of what I mean now. God building back his masterpiece. But let us not forget that in the beginning, when he smote the side of Adam, he took something from his side. Now, the smiting of Christ was for a cause that he might take from him one to be his family, his bride. He might take him a bride. So when his masterpiece was perfected, then he had to smite it to take from him, not another piece, not another creation, but of the same creation. My brother, don't think bad in this, but think a minute. If he took from him the original creation to make the bride for him, and he's never made another creation, he took a part of the original creation, then if he was the Word, what must the bride be? It's got to be the original Word, living God in the Word. In Kimberley, South Africa once, I was looking at diamonds, how they brought up out of the ground, and I seen them laying there. Well, the superintendent of the plant or the mine was one of the ushers in my prayer line, and I noticed that the diamonds valued at tens of thousands of dollars piled together, but they didn't sparkle even under the light. And I said to the superintendent of the mines, I said, why don't they sparkle? And he said, sir, they haven't been cut yet. They must be cut. Then when they are cut, then they reflect the light. There you are. The masterpiece must be cut. And notice, cut for what? Is the piece cut off? No, no. The piece that's cut off is made into a Victrola needle. And the Victrola needle is put upon the record that's unseen music to the world. But the needle is what brings it out, brings out the true interpretation of the Word. What a beautiful picture we hear Brother Branham telling us this morning. The diamond is not considered to be a precious stone until it is cut, because it cannot reflect light until it is cut. And knowing that when it is cut, it becomes the most perfect reflector of light known to man, and that is what gives its great value. Let's look again at these statements made by Brother Branham, and I'd like to break them down for the next few minutes. First of all, he said the diamond does not reflect light until it's cut. But once it is cut, it becomes a perfect reflector of light. Now, we know he's talking about the reflectors of God's Word here. So he's talking about the elect of God. And although the vessel may be ordained from the foundations of the world to be a son or daughter of God, until that elect vessel goes through the fashioning process where they are cut and bruised for his Word's sake, they cannot be a perfect reflector of God's glorious presence on earth. Yet, they are all ordained from the beginning to be as a reflector of God's presence, yet until we are fashioned and cut for our stand for His light, which is His Word, we are actually useless as reflectors of God's light to men. So the whole fashioning process of sons of God is dependent upon the cuts that we must take to stand with Him on His Word. Then don't think for one minute that God can use you to reflect His light if you're not despised and rejected of men. The whole process of becoming a reflector is dependent upon the bruising and the cutting that you get for your stand with God before men. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men," that's to say the same thing, "him will I confess before my Father also which is in heaven." You must be willing to confess Him before men if God is to make you a reflection of His light. And Jesus didn't tell us these words because He liked hearing His own voice. He said them because the Father told Him to say these words. In John 12 and verse 49, He said, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." So you see, even though we may be born to reflect God's word, until we begin to do so and then get cut in the process, we are not yet reflectors of God's word. You see, that diamond begins to reflect the very first time that it's cut. And with each cutting, it becomes more and more the perfect reflector it was ordained to be. And the more times you are cut and the more times you suffer for your stand for this word, the brighter and greater the reflection of God will come forth from your vessel. Now, either you're ordained to be a reflector of God's word, or you're not ordained to be. So even though we may be born to reflect God's word, until you are cut for that word, you're not a reflector of that word. And don't think for one minute that because you're only reflecting a little bit of light that you're not being used by God. Brother Ram illustrated that point by letting us know that even the smallest little chip that comes off of that diamond are used to bring out those sounds that are laid hidden on the records that are played by the Victrola, which is a record player. And notice he lets us know that those sounds or words cannot be heard until the vessel that was fashioned through the process of cutting was used to bring out or reflect that voice on that record. Then it was not just a mere coincidence that the message was first reflected or recorded on records that could not be heard until they come in contact with that needle that was fashioned through suffering and pain, through the cutting process. Notice how God didn't use William Branham until God cut him and bruised him and he suffered for His word's sake. And it is no less circumstances that the mediums by which they are listening to the message now are through the instrument of the laser light, which is a light focused so brilliant and in such a condensed form that it can actually cut and burn through material. Here's an object. You look at light coming right now, this light, and you think, well, see, my hand is matter. The light is not matter. It's light. And yet, light in a condensed form, in the form of a laser, could cut right through that hand. They do surgeries every day on the eyeball in very intricate places of the body. They use laser to do it because of the precision of the instrument. Just think of that. Light so brilliant, so bright, so powerful that it can cut through the very marrow of the bones. Hebrews 4 and 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, penetrating, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Light can penetrate, and light can, in a condensed form, can become so sharp, even sharper than the instrument of the surgeon's knife. It is no wonder when that the lasers in this hour are used for surgery in areas that require so small a cut that you could look at it under the powerful magnification. And even the power of the microscope is based on its ability to use light to rightly divide. For a microscope without light is almost worthless. Those lenses are refined as they may be. If there is no light, they are totally worthless and cannot be used. And those records which contain the hidden words within the grooves would be worthless without the diamond chip, which were cut off as shavings from the diamond. From the Masterpiece 103, Brother Bram said, when they are cut, then they reflect the light. There you are. The masterpiece must be cut. And notice, cut for what? Is the piece cut off? No. No, the piece that's cut off is made into a Victrola needle. And the Victrola needle is put upon a record that's unseen music to the world. But the needle is what brings it out. It brings out the true interpretation of the word. And remember, he's talking about a bride of Christ here. That is the piece that is cut off from the original. In paragraph 102, he said, he took it from him, the original creation, to make the bride for him. He's never made another creation. He took a part of the original creation. Then, if he was the Word, what must the bride be? It's got to be the original Word, living God, in the Word. Brother Branham typed Eve, taken from the side of Adam, with the bride of Jesus Christ, taken from the side of Christ. And when that sword went in and pierced him, and the water and blood came out, the Holy Ghost left him, and he said, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Into thy hands I commit my spirit. Where did his spirit go? On the day of Pentecost, that spirit was divided up. And each one that received the Holy Ghost received a portion of God's spirit on that day. And that spirit is living and abiding in a bride today. So you see, the process of reflecting must be to reflect the light of God's glorious presence. And in order to do that, you can't just use any material to do so. Not just any material is ordained to be a reflector. And not just any human is ordained to be a reflector of God either. Jesus said in Luke 8, verse 18, he said, take heed therefore how that you hear. For whatsoever or whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Now we already should know by our studies of this word hath, that Jesus used here was translated from the Greek word echo. And we know that an echo is a perfect reflection of God. A perfect reflection of sounds. And I say perfect reflection because it just does not repeat words, but the echo actually has resonance. And with such it reflects the exact way that the sound came forth to the original. And since we're talking about the Word of God then as a reflector of the Word, an echo of it would give the exact reflection of the words spoken by giving the exact words and the exact inflections as well. And notice he said, take heed therefore, in his words. He said, take heed therefore what you hear or how you hear. For to him that is of such a nature as to be able to echo the word, he shall be given the word to reflect. But to him that is not of such a nature as to echo the word, from him shall be taken away even that which he seemeth to echo. In other words, the word seemeth means what you think or what your opinion. It was translated from the Greek word dokeo, which is a derivative of the Greek word doxa, which means the opinion, the assessment, and the judgment. So it says, take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever hath, whosoever is of such a nature as to be able to reflect God's word shall be given more. But whosoever hath not, whosoever is not of that nature to reflect God's word, even that which he thinks that he is reflecting shall be taken from him. So you see, Jesus said to him that is made in such a nature as to echo or to reflect the word, he shall be given more word to echo or to reflect. But to him that is of not of such a nature as to be able to echo or reflect the word, from him shall be taken away even those things which they think in their own opinion they are able to echo and reflect, they shall be taken from them. How many people you've met and they can quote, 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 and they're quoting nothing? So the end result is that those not made to echo or reflect will lose even those things that in their own opinion they think that they know and are reflecting. For it will prove out that their echo or reflection is no reflection at all. It's no echo at all, but a mere sounding of words that they have put together in their own minds to say. Now with that in mind, let's look at bringing these two thoughts together to show you that until you are cut for the word's sake, and you will be cut for the word's sake if you are truly reflecting or echoing the word of God. And if you are truly echoing the word of God, you will be cut by the devices of men. But it is then that you will begin to truly reflect pure, unadulterated light. Jesus said in John 17 and verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them. When Jesus was 13 years old, 14 years old, 15 years old, 16, 17, 18, up through the age of 30, there is nothing, no evidence that he was rejected of men. No evidence that he was despised. But when he began being despised is after the Holy Spirit entered him and he went through a cutting, a refining in the desert. And then he came forth, went to the temple, began to read, began to bring the pure light of God's word. And they begin to really reject. Who does he think he is? When he walked the first time into that temple and he took the scroll out of the one that was reading and he read the scriptures, this, and they said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your very presence. And he sat down. They got angry. Who does he think he is? The son of Mary and Joseph. But when that light began to reflect, and the more the light began to reflect, the more cutting, and the more cutting, the more light reflecting. I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them. There's your cutting by the world, because of the word that Jesus was bruised, and the chastisement, not by God, but by the world, was upon him. Because of the word. Now let's continue. Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. And how was Jesus sent into the world? In John 12 and verse 46, he said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Then how are you sent into this world? He said, I gave them thy word, and they hated them for it. And now I'm sending them. Now, after I've given them thy word, I'm sending them, and they will be hated for it. I am sent into this world as a light. They are being sent as a light. So Jesus came as a light into the world to bear witness of the light of God's glorious presence among men. And is not that the message of the hour? Did not William Branham come saying, my ministry is to declare him, that he is here, as a light bearing witness of the light, the pillar of fire? And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So you see how the reflector of God's light, as it echoes of his word, others will hear the same glorious dose of God and be caught up into it, even as you and I are caught up into it. And the reason why we are to reflect the same word that he reflected is because it contains the very dose of God, the very opinion, the very assessment, the very judgment of God, the very mind of God. And to receive God's own mind is to receive his mindset. And thus to receive the mind of God. And in doing so, we become one with God, even as Jesus and God were one. The oneness have a picture in their mind that God and Jesus were one because Jesus was his own Father. And they are so wrong. Jesus was the Son of God. But he was one with God because the Word of God, which God is the Word, was living and abiding in him. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, and that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So we see that our oneness with God comes by receiving his doxa, or his very mind, in us. And that makes us one with the Father in the same way that Jesus was one with the Father. That is what Jesus himself is saying here. And that's what William Branham taught us. From his sermon, Harvest Time, Brother Branham said, Jesus said, that they might be one, Father, as you and I are one. Not for some man to be over something, it never will work. One denomination wants to take over the other, and one man over the other, but that you might be one with God, like Christ and God was one. And that's what the prayer is. He was the Word, and Jesus prayed that we might be the Word reflecting Him. That's His prayer to be answered. See how Satan scruples it up in the carnal mind? But that wasn't Jesus' prayer at all, that we all might congregate together and have a certain creed and so forth. Every time they do that, they just go further and further from God. But He wants us to be one with God, and God is the Word. Each individual in his heart must be that one with God. Now, if Jesus said, Father, that they might be one with us, even as I am one with you. The word even means in the same measure, the same likeness, the same way. Because it's the same word that lives and abides in you. Now, the measure of the Spirit is the measure of the Word. And if we have the fullness of the Word in this hour, then brother, sisters, we have opportunity in this hour to receive a measure which no other age has received of the Spirit of God. Amen. Because we have a full measure of the Word. Then Jesus continues in paragraph 23, or verse 23. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Made perfect in one what? In one mind. In one word. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And remember, this glory is a doxa, which is the mind of God in Christ. For that is where Jesus received it from. For he adds, which thou hast given me. So Jesus received that doxa from God. For thou lovest me before the foundations of the world, O righteous Father. The world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we have seen by thy word today that unless we are cut, we will not reflect as true your light. Therefore, Father, we know that as we present your word to this lost and dying world, we will be cut off from them, despised and rejected of men. And as we are cut, it does not turn us away from thy truth, but it causes us to come more and more into thy glorious mindset and to reflect with more certainty your word of truth. Therefore, Father, we want to thank you as our Father for all the rejection that we have gone through because of thy word. For as we are being cut and cut off for the stand that we have taken for thy word's sake, and we are being fashioned more and more into thine image, and the more that we are cut for this stand, the more we're being fashioned. For you were the rejected king, and our being rejected for having the same word that you gave to us makes us more and more in thy likeness than could have been possible any other way. Thus, Father, we are coming more and more into thy likeness as we are being fashioned as your reflection of your glorious presence, your glorious light, even as thy Son Jesus did so wonderfully reflect your great light. Thus, as he came, so are we becoming light givers to this lost and dying world that lays in gross darkness which has come upon the whole earth. And for this we are grateful and we thank thee, Father, in the name of your Son Jesus Christ, who came as a light into this world to lighten man with the knowledge of thy glorious presence. The great light from your pillar of fire in the midst of us letting us know that you are here. Lights reflecting the light. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee.